Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to believe all that your word teaches us. Amen. Last time, we learned from the Lord that we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, at that time, we learned that we needed to count the cost of discipleship. What does it cost to be a disciple of Christ? Jesus explained it this way: for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. At your confirmation, you stood before God and your congregation as the pastor asked you this question: do you, as members of this Evangelical Lutheran Church, intend to continue steadfast in the confession of this church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Now, at that time, you were faced with a life and death decision. And I really mean that, a life and death decision. Well, you made your decision. And this is probably what you said: I do so intend with the help of God. So you vowed to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from the faith. Well, how is it for you now? Are you really prepared to suffer and die for Jesus? It's one thing for a 13 or 14-year-old to recite the appropriate response. It's quite another to face the reality of actual suffering or even being killed for what you believe. Throughout history, there have been those whose commitment to Jesus has been put to the test. Men, women, children. Yesterday, Pastor Tiefel talked to us about Peter, who was faced with confessing Christ or denying him, and Peter failed. He denied him. Later on in his life, Peter did not fail. He was crucified for Christ. Stephen was stoned to death. James was killed with a sword. Polycarp was burned at the stake. Perpetua and Felicitas were killed in the Roman arena. The first Lutheran martyrs, Johann Esch and Heinrich Voss, were burned at the stake in Brussels. Now, when Luther heard about this, he wrote a hymn, and we're going to sing that hymn at the end. These were real people, faced with a real decision: life or death. Do I deny Jesus in order to save myself? Or do I confess him and suffer for it? Perhaps even die. Well, you did make that decision at your confirmation. But perhaps since that time, you have begun to ask questions. Why is it necessary for me to suffer for Jesus' sake? Why should I have to face death? Our text says we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul used the word, the Greek word, die. It is necessary. It is necessary to suffer many tribulations. But why? Why is that necessary? Can't I just have a peaceful life as a Christian? Well, you do have a peaceful life. But it's on the inside, not on the outside. In your baptism, the Holy Spirit assured your heart that there is peace between you and God, but not between you and the world. Jesus removed the conflict that stood between you and God, your sins, And after your baptism, then the Holy Spirit continued to reassure you that all is well. In your confirmation instruction, you dug more deeply into the Word of God and learned more about your salvation. After you made your vow to remain faithful, you came to ILC, and the assurances increased. Your knowledge grew. You do have a peaceful life on the inside. But on the outside, there's this world of enemies. Be prepared. We do not have peace with the world. This is one of the reasons why we suffer, but it doesn't quite answer the question why tribulation is necessary. There is a personal necessity to it. Tribulation leads to an intensifying of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. As Paul writes, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So tribulation tests us. It tests our faith. Since faith always rests on Jesus and his word, when we suffer tribulation, it causes us to look to that word for strength. Therefore, tribulation leads us to persevere, to hang tough when the going gets tough. And that's what's meant by the word character in there. A tried, tested, proven Christian character. Such a tried and true faith results in hope. Because we learn to look beyond this life, beyond this world, to that eternity where there will be both inner and outer peace. It is as your dear Savior has said to you, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So hang in there. Be ready to suffer for the sake of the faith. Yes, tribulations are necessary. So don't ask why. Ask why not. If tribulations are the pathway to glory, why not? If tribulations are good for my spirit, why not? I'm going to ask you this morning to reaffirm your confirmation vows. I'll give you the question and provide a proper response. If you are committed to Jesus, I would like you to answer. So here's the question. Do you, and I'm changing a few words, do you as members of the Holy Christian Church intend to continue steadfast in the confession of this church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do so intend with the help of God.
I do so intend with the help of God.
Truly, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We're going to turn to hymn 259, the hymn that Luther wrote, and I want you to think about those two martyrs, first Lutheran martyrs, as well as all of the others who gave their lives for the sake of Christ, and to find in them the encouragement to face tribulations. 259.
Winds, the waters,
Satan's post of it.